In the name of the one living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold from now in the age, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, and children, and fields with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. It's from Mark, and from Hebrews, we have these words. The Word of God is something alive and active. It cuts more incisively than a two-edged sword. It can seek out the place where the soul is divided from the spirit. It can pass judgment on secret emotions and thoughts. No created thing is hidden from him, and everything is uncovered and stretched fully open to the eyes of the one to whom we must give account of ourselves. In today's gospel passage, the ultimate challenge of discipleship and membership into the kingdom revolved around the spirit and reality of personal detachment for the sake of the kingdom of God. The rich young man in our gospel asked Jesus pointedly, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus first gives the standard response of living the commandments. And our young man responds undoubtedly with some sense of pride that he has done this all of his life, but is looking for something more. He did not realize the demands that Jesus would place on him. He probably expected something a little more demanding than the commandments, but less than total giving. We should note that when Jesus makes his demands, he looks at the young man with love. He looks at him with love. The demand to give up everything was a stumbling block to this young fellow and also caused some consternation amongst the disciples. The call to total dedication also remains a concern for each. The fact that we are worshiping here today demonstrates that we are followers of Jesus Christ. But like the first generation disciples, we're wary of what the cost of our discipleship will be. Peter spoke up and pointed out that he and a few others had in fact given up everything in order to follow Jesus. Jesus will make demands on us, big demands. And what are the obstacles that keep us from being fully committed to the Lord? Jesus assured Peter, as he assures us today, that all who are willing to follow the path of total dedication through the giving up of home, family, property, would be rewarded in this life and in the next. And like the young man, we can probably handle the easy demands that we have been given in our lives, or have been doing in our lives. It will be that one demand that will challenge us and perhaps make us turn away because we cannot and will not make the commitment. In this life, true discipleship cannot escape without persecution. It's obvious that today's gospel has to do primarily with evangelical poverty. The rich young man turned his back on Jesus and went away sad because he insisted on clinging to his material possessions. Even the disciples that had left all to follow the Messiah were beginning to have second thoughts. Christianity strives for a certain equality and balance in life. And everyone is entitled to food, shelter, clothing, and at least some modest decency way of life. Christians from the very beginning have followed Christ's command to alleviate the plight of the poor by feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the imprisoned, healing the sick, and you can go on. As much as is humanly possible, we are called upon to continue the works, to continue to do work towards the more humane world, and to give close attention in improving the material life of the poor. Exercising one's option for helping the poor frees their oppression and ensures the spiritual growth of us as Christians. The rich young man had the opportunity to be set free of his major obstacle of spiritual growth while helping others overcome their major obstacles and their missed opportunities, and he went away sad. His attachment to his possessions had improvised him spiritually as well as keeping others poverty-stricken. Eventually, he would lose all his material possessions. You know, eventually, all of us will lose ours too. None of us, not one of us sitting here today, can take anything from this life. We ultimately take away what we have given away. The letter to the Hebrews tells us that the Word of God is indeed challenging. It's living and it's effective. It cuts to the very bone and exposes us to the Lord. It penetrates so deeply that we have to pay attention. It will not go away and it will not heal on its own. The work of God needs our collective attention. And once we've accepted it, then we can discern the reflections and the thoughts of our hearts. In this letter, we are encouraged to ask for discernment. We want to truly listen to the Lord's guidance so that we make the right choices. Then when we hear the demands of Jesus, we will not be frightened. We will know that He is with us and will not ask us to do things that we are not capable of doing. A spirit of simplicity and concern for the poor are hallmarks of true discipleship. However, like the rich young man, each of us must first of all strive to keep the basic commandments: to love God and to love our neighbor. Heeding them makes civilized life possible and lays the basic foundation for an authentic spiritual life. To go beyond the basic foundation and build a grand spiritual life, we must then grapple with what we call evangelical poverty. Each and every Christian, in accord with their life status, has to give a priority to love, to vitality, to kindness, to friendship, to decency, and to justice. None can be so preoccupied with material wealth that they will refuse to love and live the way Jesus taught us to live. In the gospel, the disciples tell Jesus that they have given up everything to follow him. They're expecting a reward. Remember James and John were arguing with each other who would be the greatest because they wanted to sit at the left and the right hand of Jesus in his kingdom? Wasn't to be. That's a physical and a monetary reward. They're looking for the riches that the young man possessed, so that when Jesus asked him to give it all up, and the disciples were confused. Jesus tries to calm their fears by telling them they will receive 100 times more because of their commitment to him. So, if we give ourselves totally to the Lord, then we will receive many riches. We will receive his wisdom and his prudence. We will receive his eternal life. And we will receive knowledge in knowing the Word of God. We will receive hundreds more of houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands. And when we have doubts in any area, we are reminded that all things are possible with God and for God. So let me leave you with this final note. Let us put forth our faith and trust in God so that all things will be possible.